Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today, one final time this week. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best beer anywhere, best selection anywhere, without question. And they have soft drinks, snacks, the peanuts roasted fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, where, unfortunately, another embarrassing incident happened today when Kevin had to turn a car in.
It wasn't that bad.
Don't you tire of the tantrums? Isn't it exhausting?
It wasn't really a tantrum. It was just a little whimpering, maybe. Yep.
They give you another one?
See, that's what makes it better. That's why there was only whimpering and there wasn't a tantrum.
We'll hear part of James Franklin's press conference that he had impromptu about names coming off the back of the jerseys, Terry Smith as well. We'll add our own little personal touch from years gone by on top of that. So we're looking forward to it. Fantastic Four, as I was thinking about this, Fantastic Four running backs that average less than 4 yards a carry.
No, we're not doing that. No.
Why? All the really good ones are... So we can eliminate a whole bunch of guys.
No.
Fantastic Four running backs that average less than 4 yards a carry in their career. All right. Don Nottingham, Jerome Bettis.
He's going in the hall. Who cares? That's all I care about. Sadly, I'm not going to get there to see it, but I'll watch it on television at least.
How come you're not going to go?
The timing just doesn't work.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah, I know. What day?
Yeah.
What day?
August 9th. So?
Yeah, I don't think I can make it August 9th. That's the problem.
Why? What's August 9th?
No, I'm not available to go that day. That's the problem. I actually have something already scheduled for that one.
You waited your entire life for this.
I would go that far. I'll watch it on TV. I'll be okay.
You waited your entire life for this. You were obsessed on this show for 3 years.
Well, I can't deny that. There was a slight obsession to it.
And then finally, attrition kicked in and he got in.
I think there's a lot of packages that are already sold out too.
Boy, it's too bad you can't go, because I understand he's gonna probably recognize you.
Well, he still can. I'll watch it on TV. I'll be okay.
No, you're not there. Loyalty means something.
I would not go to watch the Hall of Fame game, though, I'll tell you that. But the way I understand it, a lot of the packages have sold out for this one.
Are the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, they usually try and pick the, you know, one team that has somebody being enshrined, and that one makes the most sense.
Who are they playing?
You know what? I knew you were just going to ask me that, and I can't remember right now. I'm going to have to look it up because I honestly I cannot remember.
There'll be more people watching that game. The ratings for that game will be higher than a Major League Baseball game.
Oh, I believe that. The Vikings, that's who it is. Just hit me, sorry.
Well, a lot of things just hit you. this has now become an entertainment portion of the program as far as I'm concerned. It's when Kevin emails me his topics of the day.
I'm glad you're entertained by my hard work.
Hard work? You write down four topics. Recap the day at the Open. How taxed were you by that suggestion?
Well, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, there was heavy rain. You know, they had to change the play up a little bit. Maybe some guys aren't going to get finished. What does that do to a golfer?
But how taxed were you by the suggestion? I don't mean the idea. Okay. Smoltz says the Mets rotation is better than the Braves of the 90s. What makes it better? That's an interesting one because I don't agree with him.
See, I thought that was rather strange. I mean, the Mets rotation's okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's better than the
different. But okay, right. But here's the difference. And that's an intriguing topic actually, which we'll get into more. But here's my initial read when I see that. Longevity and the results of longevity have greater sway with me than a short-term, wow, look at this guy, this guy, this guy. I mean, if that's the case, the Oakland A's back in the 80s with Billy Martin had all the potential in the world, and look what happened to them. Harvey's already been hurt once. How much longer will Hamels be a Philly? Oh, do you want an estimate? Okay, 13 days. Okay, next. Okay, that one's done.
Do you think they'll wait that long?
Well, I think that it'll go down to the final 2 days. I mean, I would say that he'll be a Philly for 11 or 12 more days, and then, you know, at some point, then the window's open to be dealt. Because you don't want – the one thing you really don't want is you don't want to be at a point where now he has to clear waivers to do this. Because now the contenders start playing games with claiming him off waivers. You pull the name off of waivers, and, you know, and it becomes a problem. So, I mean, he's got less than 2 weeks.
Probably a better question then is who will still be a Philly in 13 days? Or no, I'm kidding. Papelbon's another one. I don't see him staying with the Phillies and being a Philly in August.
Well, I don't think so either, but we've thought that the last 2 years about
That's
him.
True.
And part of it is you have to have somebody that wants him.
It's got to be somebody that wants a closer, though.
Yeah, they want a closer, but
is there too much baggage with him?
There's, you know, it also has to be the right clubhouse fit.
Yeah,
for what's going on, and why hasn't he been dealt the last 2 years? I mean, Detroit needed a closer. Detroit still needs a closer. I mean, why? Other teams have gone in different directions. And here's one for you. I'll point this out. This was another golden Kevin Herr moment about the All-Star game. Why don't you put a pitcher back in the game? Clayton Kershaw is not going to start tonight for the Dodgers. Push back to tomorrow because he threw 22 pitches on Tuesday.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
It is a lot because you got to remember how. Oh boy!
I'm sorry. It doesn't sound like a lot of pitches to me. That sounds like barely an inning.
Kevin.
I know you're going to have to dumb this down for me. I get it. But I'm looking at it from the perspective.
We are.
That it just doesn't seem like a big number.
Okay, you're looking at the perspective of a fan.
Agreed.
All right. How many Tommy Johns have we now seen in the last 5 years?
Understandable.
There's mentioned the Mets rotation.
Yeah.
We just mentioned the Mets rotation. Matt Harvey's already had that surgery. That's why the Smoltz statement, maybe in terms of pure talent, I can agree with John Smoltz that maybe the Mets have meant more pure talent, but they don't have the results long term that the Braves have. That's why I disagree with his statement. But the other part to this is when it comes to Kershaw, you throw 22 pitches. How many pitches did you throw in the bullpen?
Well, you know, I was about to say that 22 pitches is what he threw in the bullpen, but that's 44 then in the game and the bullpen. So I didn't think about the bullpen
warm-up. And he threw 8 warm-up pitches, which brings you to 50.
Right.
All right. You have to really – arms today have been babied. And I've been here in Morgantown for the last 3 days doing this show because I'm doing minor league baseball. No one on either staff goes beyond 85 pitches at this level. I haven't seen a single pitcher go past 85 pitches on this level since the first year I was in the league, and State College had a pitcher named Matt Lane who went 89 pitches. And the reason he went 89 pitches is that he threw a one-hitter. And it was an 8, and he went 8. He did not throw the ninth inning because they didn't want him to get past 90. No one goes past 85 pitches on this level. This is not the era of Louis Tiant throwing 167 pitches in Game 4 of the World Series. This is not Juan Marichal, Bob Gibson. Remember we were talking about the designated hitter earlier? And we're talking about overrated National League strategy, and it's dramatically, massively overrated. And one of them, you know, people always think, the decision to pinch hit for the pitcher. We're not in a complete game era anymore. Okay? You're not pinch hitting for Bob Gibson in the seventh inning who's going to throw a complete game for you. Okay? You're pinch hitting in the seventh inning of a game for, pick a guy, Wade Miley. Well, Wade Miley ain't going to throw a complete game. I mean, I think Wade Miley has 2 complete games in his entire career. Bob Gibson had 2 complete games in a 7-day span. And it's just a totally different era now where pitch counts were invented because of the DH. Because American League managers needed a gauge as to how long they would keep their pitcher on the mound. Because they weren't pinch hitting for them during the course of the game. And that's why it came about. Well, today, they're babied all through the minors. I mean, the Pirates are a perfect example of it. I've watched the Pirates for 6 years in State College. And each guy had different pitch counts, especially early in the season. There were guys that had 40 pitches as their limit. Some had 50. Some had maybe 60. And you'd see guys go 3 innings, 4 innings, maybe 5. And that was it. That's all they would do. They constantly did at this level what are called piggybacks. And they've been babied all the way through. And I use babied as a term. This is not an insult. But I mean babied in the they've been so incredibly careful with them to keep them away from arm injuries. They've done so much with long toss and when you're supposed to come back and how you throw on the day after. Then how do you throw 2 days after? Then when do you really get your sessions going in the bullpen to then get ready for your next start? They've done so much research on this. And it's completely different now. I mean, how often do you now see a manager pinch hit for a pitcher when they've had to make that tough decision to take the pitcher out of the game? How often does that happen now? At that point, they're ready to take the pitcher out of the game. I mean, that argument has went by the board you boards years ago, and anybody who loves baseball knows what I'm saying is spot on, okay? Only if you're being stubborn about pitchers hitting, no, there's still great strategy. Yeah, right, fine, yeah. It's the fourth inning, runner on first, nobody out. And guess what? I can't believe Aaron Harang's going to bunt. Blow me away. The strategy just, I'm just taken aback. Well, we have a lot going on today. We've gone through the Kevin. Did I miss any topics?
You realize this is for a whole show. It's not for 3 minutes.
Believe me, I can create a whole show. That's no problem. I sent you some James Franklin stuff. I sent you some Terry Smith stuff. And we got Neil Coulon coming up. So how many innings did you want me to throw?
I want you to throw a complete game. I'm old school. I want you to go with a good. I don't have a closer, all right?
Recap the day at the Open. Like I said, yeah.
That's it. I waved the white flag.
I find you. No, keep. I mean, I want this to be a segment every day. I love the Kevin topics of the day. They're all good topics.
I didn't put Aaron Nola on there either. I wanted to get your thoughts on the right-hander.
I was shocked you didn't put that on there. Well, they've already called him up. He's up.
Well, see, I thought they were going to. I thought they would wait a little bit longer because of contract situation, but I guess not.
No, he's up. And in fact, when the heck? He's starting Tuesday.
The 21st. I just thought if they call up as officially on Tuesday, that would leave him.
Well, I mean.
And that would put him in a situation that his contract is controllable.
Believe me, his contract is controllable. So that's not an issue. They announced that he's going to make his major league debut on Tuesday. 10-4, 2.39 ERA, 18 starts between Reading and Lehigh Valley. Now, he's always worn number 10, but there's some individual already wears that number because I know uniforms mean a lot to you, so he's going to wear 27. And seventh pick of the 2014 draft, they ran him through Clearwater, bypassed everywhere else and sent him up to Reading. Tops out at 95, promoted to AAA last month, went 1.88 at Reading, and he will be the first Phillies player since Pat Combs in 1989 to debut a season after being drafted. He starts Tuesday. And you didn't have that in your list.
I had it in my head.
I thought, as if we're supposed to make a trip into that area. We'll come back, bottom of the hour. Right now, Sean Carey, Drew Kelly are both on the floor in hysterics.
I quit.
after that statement.
I'm going back on vacation. See ya.
Give me credit. I had maybe 15, 20 lines about that. Bypassed them all. Because there are certain moments where it just speaks for itself on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews. Stock up for the weekend with the best selection anywhere. And that's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And, of course, they have soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day, and that pickle bar is tremendous. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up tonight. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's War for it today. In one of the truly embarrassing moments, Kevin, in the fetal position, had the keys taken away from a 2016 that he was driving this week.
Actually, that's not true. It was a key fob, because it's a push-button start.
Either way, I noticed you didn't dispute the embarrassing part.
The 2016 Ford Explorer XLT.
I would have disputed the embarrassing part and really bypassed the key fob.
Well,
but
see,
that's just me.
See, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to admit how much I enjoy driving these vehicles. The 2016 Ford Explorer XLT, when you have stuff like the 3.5-liter V6 EcoBoost engine, four-wheel drive, intelligent four-wheel drive at that. You have the enhanced park assist with parallel parking and reverse perpendicular parking that'll help you if you actually get into a parking stall at the grocery store. It'll actually help you out. And one of the cool things on this vehicle that I don't think we talked about this week was the backup camera actually has a washer on it. And if you have a car that has a backup camera, you know that in the rain it can get a little bit messy and muddy. This one actually has a washer to keep the camera clean. That's just one of the many cool features of the 2016 Ford Explorer XLT, also available in the base, limited, sport, and platinum editions from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Yeah, that's an issue in the wintertime with all the salt and everything. You do have to constantly have to clean off the camera. Yep, I mean, you have to clean off the camera all the time on that.
Now, do you have one vehicle that has a camera and then one that doesn't?
Yes.
Do you find yourself when you're in the other vehicle looking at the dash going, where the heck did the camera go?
Absolutely.
You'd be surprised how much you rely on it when you don't have it.
Yeah. I agree with that completely. That is absolutely true. We will get to our British Open update a little bit later. But first, James Franklin yesterday had an opportunity to talk with everyone about the decision to take the names off the jerseys.
First of all, appreciate everybody coming out. It's great seeing you. I'm excited. We've had two really good days. I mean, yesterday going to the Children's Hospital has turned into a really cool event that we're going to try to do every single year. The poster giveaway today has turned into a really cool event, and we're excited about that as well. And then obviously the announcement of taking the names off the jersey has been, I think, received really well. The people are excited. With the direction of the program and the future of the program, but also being very respectful of our past and our traditions and our history. So, it's an exciting time. Recruiting's going really well right now. Season tickets are going really well, and the development of our players. We've had a great summer. Our guys look better. I was thinking about it on the walk out here. Is my Audrey and the rest of you guys. I put Paris on the scale because nobody believes. He's just weighed in at 299.4, and if there's anybody who doesn't believe me, I'll take you in there and we can put him on the scale. But there's a lot of really good things going on right now, so excited to get out with the guys today and hand out the new posters, which I think came out really sharp. I want to thank our marketing and communication staff because they've handled this all extremely well. So open up the questions.
When did the idea of taking the names off first come up?
Well, guys, let's be honest. I mean, I think the initial press conference, I've been getting questions since the day I arrived. I went to the retirement party last week, and some guy almost assaulted me asking me the question. Who was it? Bud
Meredith.
Yeah, at his retirement party, some guy almost assaulted me. But I just, this is something, I've had a lot of conversations with Spider about. I had a lot of conversations with Terry Smith about. I've thought about this from day one. I just thought year one wasn't the right time to make this decision. There had been so much change and so much turnover in a short period of time. Fifth head coach in 27 months. There's a lot of issues, a lot of things that we had to overcome. And it was just one more thing that I didn't feel ready or prepared to deal with at that time. So after being able to take some time and kind of understand the whole situation and what it meant to people, I do think it's another step in the healing process for us. all the things that have happened the last couple of years, getting off of sanctions, getting the bowls back this past year, getting the bowl revenue back, and now, you know, restoring some of the tradition and history. I think it's another step in the right direction for this program moving forward.
How much input did the fifth-year seniors have? The players in general, but the fifth-year seniors, the guys who have really been through the brunt of just about everything on this decision, which, judging by their tweets and stuff, was very important to them.
You know, the funny thing is, it's hard to keep something quiet right now. And to be honest with you, I was amazed that it stayed quiet. So it wasn't like I sat those seniors down and had a specific conversation. I did talk to them over a year ago in a leadership council meeting just about the names on the jerseys at that time. But all I did was, once we made the decision, I did two things. I had those seniors, as well as some other select players, come in late last night and express it to them, because I wanted to kind of get their feedback on it before I expressed it to the team. I wanted to meet with the team this morning so they heard it before everybody else, which is, again, hard to do with the way social media is nowadays. You know, the marketing people did a great job of keeping us quiet, because, you know, we're making posters, we're doing a lot of different things that show this. And then I invited some local former players in this morning at 7 a.m. To me, it's another example of what's cool about Penn State. I pick up the phone, I call, I think, 8 guys and say, hey, can you be at my office Thursday morning at 7 a.m.? And every single one of them says yes. Don't ask why, don't ask what. Jack Hamm drives 3 hours in from Pittsburgh to do it, and I expressed it to them first thing in the morning. Obviously, at that point, with the players and our former players, the decision had already been made, but I thought it was important that those two specific groups heard it first. So it wasn't like it was one specific question, one specific discussion. It was really a conversation and a fact gathering over the last, you know, year and a half, or however long we've been here.
You said, James, you talked with Spider a little bit. What's it been like having him back, and what were his thoughts? What was his input? Because I think his wife sewed all those names on those jerseys. It just had a big, big part in that.
Yeah, and we actually brought Spider's wife in to take the stitching out of all of them.
really?
No, but but no, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first got here, I had a lot of meetings with people like Spider, and those were hard meetings, and those were emotional meetings. Todd Kolka. You know, Todd Kolka got emotional this morning talking to our team. You know, Spider, we've had a number of conversations. Terry Smith. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But those guys are valuable resources, especially for myself. I didn't go to Penn State. So, you know, being able to tap into that institutional knowledge and that community knowledge is really important and really valuable for us. And, you know, they weren't going to be the end-all, be-all, those guys. But they were going to be a piece of the information. They were a piece of the story, and trying to kind of take all these things in. And as you guys have heard we talk about before, just continuing to gather information and make decisions that we think are in Penn State's best interest long term moving forward. And I think this is the right thing to do. I think, you know, what Bill did was the right thing at the right time. And I think this is the right thing to do at the right time again moving forward.
So you guys went through the process. I noticed the freshmen yesterday had the names on. So was that just what kind of process was that, you know, for you guys to, because they all had them on, the new guys you just got from there.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a process at all. I mean, we haven't done anything with the jerseys because, again, this was a tight circle of mm-hmm. people that kind of knew what was going to happen. Even our staff, you know, our staff found out this morning at 7:30. Our players found out before the rest of the coaches mm-hmm. found out. So, you know, the jerseys were left as they were. It's not that complicated to tear the names off, the stitching off the back, and we got plenty of time to do that before now in Temple. And, you know, and the other thing is we're ordering, you know, new uniforms and new equipment all the time. So, you know, we just tried to keep this as tight as we possibly could.
Did the guys applaud, or what did they do when you announced this to them in the squad room?
You know, I think it was kind of like taking it all in. You know, I expressed it. Then the former players got up and talked about the significance that it meant to them. I told them they have 1 or 2 minutes to speak, no more than that. And I looked at Spider and I said, Spider, did you hear what I said? 1 or 2 minutes, because Spider can, you know, he can tell some stories. So those guys got a chance to get up and talk, and I think they get it. I think whenever you make a decision like this, there's probably 5% that, you know, maybe aren't completely sure or those types of things, just like when we put the names on. You know, that's part of it. But I think having those former players in there, and Spider and Terry, and talking about the significance it means to them and this program and what it stood for and why it's so important, you know, it's hard to argue with that. That's also why I brought that select group of guys up the night before, so that if there is a few guys in the locker room that after the meeting's over don't understand, they can go over and kind of reinforce the reason for it. And in the end, we've made a decision, and we're moving forward now, and everybody's going to be pulling in the right direction. But I don't want you to take that the wrong way. I think it was received extremely well, extremely well.
James, was there any significance to doing it today, and when did that tight circle sort of decide? What was that decision made before you told everybody else?
Yeah, the decision, again, I've been working on since I got here. Once I made the decision that this is what we wanted to do, after that, I kind of handed it over to the powers that be, the marketing people, the experts in their field, and let them decide on what's the best time to do it. How they came up with this date and this specific time, I'm not completely sure, but I think it was the right time. You know, I wasn't in those meetings. We have people that kind of handle all those things once we made the decision moving forward, and we're here, you know, X's and O's and scheming. Getting ready for Temple, getting ready for camp and recruiting.
James, you have joked the last 2 years at the coaches caravan. This is the question that you receive more than any other. So I'm just curious, going forward now, what's the second question you heard the most often, and how early did you know that this was really important to Penn State fans?
I knew this was important from day one. This was a real common question. So I don't know. We probably need to cancel the caravan next year because there's nothing else to talk about. That and travel camps. I mean, what else is there to talk about in the caravan, right? I mean,
Hackenberg.
Yeah. You guys love that too, right? But no, I knew this was important from day one. You know, any decision you make, there's going to be a percentage either way that don't completely agree. I think this is one that's a little bit hard to argue with, because this is a program that was built on history and tradition, success with honor, you know, all the things that we hold so dear to our heart. So, you know, the fact that we have tradition to embrace, the fact that we have history to embrace and hold on to, I think is valuable. And there's programs that would give their right arms to have the history and the tradition that we've had.
This is one of the biggest items on your to-do list. What's the next biggest one with this program and this culture?
You know, I'd rather just kind of enjoy today rather than talking about the next mountain that we have to tackle. To be honest with you guys, it's not just one thing. You guys have heard me say this before. Every aspect of this job is important. The academics, the graduation rates, social education in terms of making good choices and how our guys conduct themselves. We see that being an issue all over the country. I can't talk about those things enough. You know, how we recruit, how we develop. It's everything. You know, every aspect is important. Every aspect is important. But one of the things I think you guys have seen with us, our consistency and our message and our branding is really, really important to me. So we talk about team all the time. We talk about in our four core values, the last core value being sacrifice and putting the team and putting the community and putting the university ahead of yourself. And I think this is a great example. You know, one of our core values goes hand in hand, you know, with taking the names off the jerseys and everything we try to do. I think that's really, really important with your players, with your fans, with everything you're doing, that there's consistency and carry over with your messages and the things you're trying to do.
And that is James Franklin from yesterday talking about the taking the names off the jerseys. We'll have a comment that spans 28 years. We'll come back with that intriguing comment in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero do-it signing, zero security deposit, zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax after leasing and low APR financing through KMF and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, names off the jerseys. A little bit later, we'll hear from Terry Smith. Next half hour, Neil Coulong, as we'll talk about the Steelers. But we take you back in time. It was January 1987. Penn State had defeated Miami in the Fiesta Bowl to win the second national championship. It's become a tradition that the teams that win get invited to the White House. Every team that goes to the White House, I don't care whether it's the Tennessee women's basketball team or the San Francisco Giants, they'll present the president with a jersey. And, of course, everyone will put the jersey and has the president's name on the back of the jersey. Well, in 1987, Joe Paterno presented then-President Reagan with a jersey.
Now, before I finish, let me say a special congratulations to Coach Joe Paterno. In my money, I think he's one of the greatest coaches ever in college sports. He's never forgotten that first and foremost, he's a teacher who's preparing his students, not just for the season, but for life.
Mr. President, I want to say, as Dr. Jordan has said, how pleased we are and how proud that you would invite us here to the White House. And I want to present you with something that I think maybe signifies what Penn State athletics are all about. And this is a jersey that you can wear when you're out there chopping wood and driving a bicycle. Okay? And there's a couple of things about this jersey I want you to notice. Number one, as far as we're concerned, you're number one. Number two, there are no stripes on this jersey. We're not very flashy at Penn State. We don't put anybody's name on the back because we're team players, all right? And we're conservative.
I think the last part really spoke to the president's heart.
That was my favorite part, yeah.
That was January 1987 when they went down to the White House. That was actually the last time that entire team had been together to do something until they had, obviously, the reunions here at Penn State. But I thought that statement is one that needed to be put in there because that then explained the essence of it. Remember, Joe, when everybody was going to white shoes, Joe refused to go to white shoes. He said, look, we'll wear the black shoes. That's what we're about. These are our work clothes. You know, that's why whenever they put a stripe around the collar or put a stripe around the sleeve, they go, oh, look, there's a stripe. I mean, that's how noticeable it was. And then near the end, they then made the change back where they took all the stripes off. The last jerseys that they wore with Joe as the head coach were ones that didn't have any striping on them whatsoever. Well, then they'll go back and take the names off the back. The logos, though, stay. You know, that's something. There's certain things you can't do anything about. And, for example, you know, I mean, Nike buys the jerseys, okay? The logo, that logo stays. And the Big Ten requires that you have the conference logo, and the placement of that logo is specific as mandated by the conference. And that, and the reason that they do that is in conjunction with television. It's like it's also mandated the placement. They decided the placement to put in the back of the of basketball jerseys, because there are so many shots of players from behind as they're shooting free throws and things like that.
I wondered what the reasoning for that was. I noticed that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's the reason. Next half hour, Neil Coulong and the Steelers, then Terry Smith, Penn State's corners coach, and he'll talk about what it meant to him as a former player and a current staff member to have the names taken off the jerseys. Plus a British Open update.